League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
AFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
A Gau Media Station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday. Still one more clip from our comedian of the week. So if you missed any of those or the interview we just did with Charles Barkley, as we always tell you, ESPN975.com. You can click on the show tab and get the previous things that you missed in terms of the show from today. And you can also download the app and take us anywhere along the way.
And if you missed any part of that Barkley interview, you need to go back and check it out, because some of you just tune in at 3 o'clock for whatever reason, you're getting in the car. Trust me, you just missed 30 minutes about thereabouts of Charles Barkley at his best. And don't take my word for it or Joel's word for it, which props to Joel, man. That's a good get, bro. That's twice you've gotten Barkley. Yep. And it doesn't get much better than that. In fact, somebody said, damn, gents, I just tuned in and y'all have Barkley live. Only way the Blitz tops that is if they get Tom Brady. So, actually, Robert Kraft at this point.
Yeah.
Awesome interview, guys. Great job. Been listening to 97.5 since 2012. That was the best interview I've ever heard. He's my new favorite celebrity. How can you not like him? I mean, the dude is just hilarious. And he's honest. That's what I like. He's like, no, this is what I think, and I'm not going to tell you or anyone else anything they want to hear.
True story on how we got to be friends. He was playing for the Suns. I'm working for the Rockets. And Robert Barr, who used to be like a player development guy for the Rockets, knew Charles and lined up an interview for me. Charles made me do it while he was in the hot tub in the Phoenix locker room. And they were that was the series where they were in the butt kicking business and business was good.
And Chucky Hoop.
And I would not back down from him. And I kept saying, so what if you lose this series? And he's like, brother, you know what? If I make this shot, we're going to win this series. Because that was the next day after I did the interview with him. Because I kept going at him a little bit. We went on the court. And he's like, if I make this shot, we're going to the finals. And he missed the shot. And I go, so do you want me to send you a postcard when we go? And we kind of scrap. And the day that he got, I just figured it was one of those things. One of my kind of welcome to the NBA moments. I thought it was really cool. I got to interview him a little bit.
You figure maybe he's not going to remember.
Exactly. So they bring him in after they traded for him with Robert Horry and Sam Cassell and Mark Bryant. And Robert Barr called me and he goes, hey, where are you? And I was like, well, I mean, I'm on my way to an appointment. He's like, turn around and meet me at the hotel, which I believe the press conference was right across the street from the summit when we were at the summit.
Okay.
He goes, Charles wants you there.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, what? And I showed up, and he's like, where are we going to dinner tonight, brother? He goes, I'm a Rocket now, so you got no choice but to be my friend. And I was like, oh, my God. And that was it. Ever since then, we've been friends.
That's a great story.
Yeah, he is exactly how he sounds. That's why I said we didn't have enough time. Someone wanted me to bring it up again. But he literally would drive down the street and give people, homeless people and otherwise, money. Crazy. He would always tip the busboys more. And he and Clyde didn't get along so well, and that's a true story. The only thing that would get under his skin if you said, like the guy that said, thanks, Mr. Clyde. Drexler, and we never let him forget that.
Somebody said, I smiled the entire interview with Chuck. I could have listened to y'all talk all day long. Good stuff. And then Barkley was a great segment for FEF Friday. Funny stuff. Very funny. That was Juan in Denver.
Oh, there you go. Listening to Denver. Very cool.
Yeah. And then a couple of cleanup items from the text. But again, we appreciate Barkley for joining us.
Yep.
What's up, suspects? Listening to y'all on the app since my radio is tripping, but I can't miss y'all's show. That's the way to go. Get the app. Always get the app. And then Mary said, hey, I just wanted to be clear. I wasn't saying you guys come on at 10:30. I'm saying that I start listening at 2:30 every morning. I drive a chemical tanker. So I knew what I was saying. I heard about it at 2:30. So my bad, Mary. I misunderstood your text. And of course, we appreciate you listening. Last text from the text line to clean up. R. Kelly's going down. Hide your criminals. They busting everybody today. That was from Blaine. So, yeah, man. It's rough out there in these criminal streets.
No doubt. Because, again, just like the Robert Kraft news, Nick and I were talking about it in the break because he hadn't heard it yet, but 10 different indictments coming down today from Cook County and the Chicago area for aggravated sexual abuse for R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me that documentary didn't get it all going again to get to the bottom
exactly
of this.
Oh, that's exactly what it was. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's big stuff.
Damn it. They are still tweeting the Tom Brady with long hair pic. Stop it. God, I'm going to have to turn off my Twitter because it's just going to drive me insane every time someone sends that to me. Because I didn't even think it was funny the first time. But somebody just texted and said, now who's Barry going to bring on to top that? Bro, I'm not topping Charles Barkley.
That's not
how
we do
me?
Things around here.
I was like, I'm going to go through my Rolodex. I have nobody in my Rolodex that could top Charles Barkley. Get out of here. That's not even a thing.
No, that's not why we do this anyway.
Yeah.
We do it for y'all.
I mean, maybe I could get Alyssa Milano, but she's not going to top Charles Barkley. There ain't no way. I'm kidding about her. She wouldn't do the show.
She might.
No way. No way.
So he touched on some of this, but we really didn't get down to all of it. But we should probably get into some more of the Rockets because of the fact that last night was I went to bed with.
You thought it was over.
I went to bed with 3:23 to go in the fourth quarter. I knew he was going to get his 30, so Nick wasn't going to look stupid that we didn't jinx him because I covered for him and we got the results we were looking for.
I remember that.
So I knew he was going to get his 30. They were up by 19 or whatever it was. I'm like, this one's over. And then I wake up this morning to put on the Sports Center and I see the bottom line and I was like, oh my God.
There was so much about this game that I was excited about. You could immediately see the impact that Clint Capela is going to have on this team the rest of this season. You could see they were running more high pick and rolls. It was immediate. And there was a lot to be excited about when you saw it. I mean, defensively, he was a presence. He was rebounding. Went nuts on the defensive boards, which is what they've sorely been missing. I think he had 11 rebounds last night. Even fighting with P.J. Tucker. So you knew that he sat there and watched this team just get murdered defensively on the boards and thought, that's where I'm going to really contribute. And it showed last night. Hopefully he has fresh legs the rest of the season and can sustain it. But there was back-to-back blocks with him and Fareed, and I damn near just jumped off the couch because of it.
With all that being
said, exciting though, to see.
The thing that bothered me was when the Lakers were making their run, and it looked like Clint was kind of gassed a little bit. Because,
and that's going to happen,
though. But then I'm going, okay, if Clint is, then where's P.J.? And it looked like, to me, maybe the break, and P.J. went to All-Star break and everything like that, because the back end of the defense – as rim protectors and lane protectors last night was nowhere.
Well, you got a taste of what this Rockets team is going to be, and I think you can excuse that because I tell you what, I made the same observation about Chris Paul. There was a point in maybe the mid-first quarter, well, his first break, he looked tired already, and they weren't out. It was his first time to go come out of the game and go sit after starting the game, and he was walking up the court when it happened. He was gassed already. But I think that's more of a product of this isn't a young team. They're not old, but it's not necessarily a young team, and they had some days off, and you got to get that basketball win back. There were some rust. I mean, D'Antoni talked about it at one of the breaks, how they were kind of rusty and whatnot. But I think overall, when you look at this team at full strength, Austin Rivers was back. Mm-hmm. You had Nene on the floor. You had Fareed and Capela on the floor at the same time. That was a glimpse of what you could see. And,
don't forget Shumpert now. They could use Shumpert.
True. Oh, that's true. That's true. But and Charles said, you know, he felt like they lost the game. The Lakers didn't win it. And that's true. There was a stretch of about 4 minutes of not scoring from the end of the third to the beginning of the fourth. And that's where they lost the game, basically. And it was their fault, really. I don't think that the Lakers were playing stellar defense. But it was exciting. I mean, as a Rockets fan, you see what they are full strength. Do I think they could beat the Warriors? No. But I think that they're not going to get blown out.
That's fair. I mean, I think the thing is unfortunately, you are really relying now on if the only way you can strengthen this team is to, one, be healthy, and two, hope to God that someone late in the game, before it's too late, has a buyout of a guy that can maybe give you one more little extra oomph. But the main thing is now you just got to get them all playing together so that chemistry comes back. And I did. I saw glimpses last night with Chris Paul. And you look at his numbers. They were monstrous numbers for a guy that was a little gassy. He almost had a triple-double. But if they can get him more acclimated so that the ball spreads around a little bit more, it's moving more, other guys touch it and get chances to score with it, and you can get back to the system that worked so well for you a year ago, then I think they could go farther. But if they continue to stick with this whole dribble, 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 Harden on the top of the key thing, it's not going to work.
But they didn't do that a lot.
No, that's what I'm saying. Last night was the glimpses of it.
Yeah.
But Chris ran out of gas.
Right, but I mean, Clint Capela, even though his numbers really don't reflect it, he was really involved in the offense. He was an option. I felt like the Lakers did a pretty good job of taking him away, that you could see that they would play off the ball if James or Chris would penetrate and get to the lane. They would play off. Somebody would always stay with Capela, whether it was McGee or somebody else, which was smart by the Lakers to do. And not every team's going to be able to do that. Not every team is as big as the Lakers is a big team. Uh-huh. They're overall, they're a large, which is also why their outside shooting is atrocious, but it's also why I think they're second in the NBA in points in the paint. So it was one of those things where once this offense gets clicking again, I'm excited. I think that you get to see you'll see a different Rockets team. Again, I don't think they'll make it to the Western Conference Finals again, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as maybe I was thinking in the middle of the season. So
it'll be interesting. And we can get to this Scott Foster thing too, because it's kind of crazy. That's the one of the names that I didn't mention that was on our list of guys for years that have been, when you know that he's a referee in a Rockets game, we knew we were in trouble. So that's something we can get to, because that came up last night, and that was obviously a very prevalent storyline in the Rockets' loss. But you know what? With 24 games to go in the season, regardless of what it takes, they got to start getting it together, and they can't keep relying on blaming it on the refs.
No. Somebody said, well, at least Joel cares enough about the listeners. Thank you, Joel and Nick. Always great.
Stirring it up. So we are in the final hour of the show. We still got plenty more to go, though. So if you want to join us, you got something on your mind, you want to get off your chest, hey, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I've been trying to learn, though. I've been trying to keep up with stuff. I did learn something cool the other day, that a good way to tell if you're washing your hands long enough in the bathroom is to sing the happy birthday song to yourself. Did y'all know that? That by the time it takes you to finish singing the happy birthday song to yourself, that's how you know you've washed your hands long enough. Here's something else I learned. Doing that makes people think you're having the saddest fucking birthday ever. I love doing comedy. I love performing. I love doing stand-up comedy. I do feel like doing stand-ups finally started to take a toll on my marriage, though. You know, like even the other night during sex, I had to like stop and remind my wife not to heckle during the performance. And then she gave me the light, telling me to wrap it up. And comedy's a lot like sex, okay? I finish early and I leave them wanting more.
Good stuff from a funny dude. It's Dan Hornstein, and Barry gave you the backstory throughout the show, but an up-and-coming guy, has the Houston ties, and he's funny, too. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, man. Glad to be able to feature some of these cats.
No doubt about it. So as we continue to roll, we were talking about this whole Rockets game last night and the fact that, look, I can add a little light to the fact that Mark Cuban is a guy that won in his analytics department. They literally have a spreadsheet like you keep for picks for football that breaks down every official in the NBA and what they've done against the Mavs and the calls and all this different stuff. So it has obviously been a topic over the years with teams. Some teams take it to different levels than others. I told you in the past, there was three officials that we knew as broadcasters and people within the organization. When you get the sheet, you know, an hour before game time, or Nick, whenever they do it with the starting lineups, and you get the officials and you see who they are, or now when the NBA tweets it out, we knew we were going to have our hands full and it was going to be a tough game to win when one of those three names came up.
Ugh.
And I mentioned in the past, Tony Brothers was one of those guys, and he literally got reprimanded by the league at one point because he had it out for Yao. So that was kind of earlier. Derek Stafford was a guy that had a reputation, especially with Kevin McHale, but it kind of rolled over into the Rockets, and he's now retired as well. But Derek Stafford was another guy where we knew that, look, and I actually knew Derek Stafford through Charles, and he's a good dude. But boy, I'll tell you what, when it came down to officiating Rockets games, you could tell there was a little bit of difference. And the third guy was Scott Foster.
Really?
So this has been going on for quite a while. And when you look at it, and some of the people offered this up within the organization to Stephen A. Smith and others last night, Rockets 0-7 in home playoff games in which Scott Foster was an official.
Wow.
12 games he officiated for Houston since the start of last season. In those games, 27 more fouls were called on Houston. And in the three playoff games he had with the Rockets involved in them in the last almost 2 years, 0-3 for the Rockets.
Yeesh. Proof's in the pudding.
So there is a little something to be said there.
I wonder if there's another referee in the league that they are 0-4 with, because that would also be a telltale sign.
Yeah, I don't know.
We haven't won a single game at home with this dude. Like, why? What's up with that?
But we literally, you could see our body language. We knew when we saw who was announced as the officials.
Oh, yeah.
When you heard certain names, you got deflated. You were like, oh, no. And that's just not a good thing. That's not how the game should be officiated. And like you said, to hear that Chris Paul had said, look, I met with the league about this guy.
Yeah, he was after this. There was a great quote from James Harden where he talked about it and they asked him about it. But after that quote, Chris Paul comes on and he says, that's why I mentioned it to Charles, because he says, hey, you know, they asked him about Scott Foster and he's like, look, man, I've sat down with the league. I've talked to them. I don't know what else to do. And they were like, well, do you think it's personal? He's like, I don't know what else to do. They were like, do you think that it puts you to, and Chris Paul never wanted to commit to this guy saying anything specific about him, but all he, because I'm sure he didn't want to get fined, but all he would say is, I don't know what else to do. But this has been an ongoing issue with him.
Now, let me take it a step further.
And that's
for
why
you.
D'Antoni got teed up, because he was pissed.
D'Antoni and Harden and Paul and everybody got teed up, and take it a step further now. But just from the overall point that of saying that this is an issue, simply because of the fact that if we think about from a Chris Paul perspective, he had this conversation with the league with Scott Foster. Let's not forget it was a different official that threw his brother out of a game in Utah and then brought him back because he knew he had gone too far. And then Chris said, this was a guy that was reffing my games at Wake Forest that had a problem with me, that knew and pointed out my brother before he even knew there was something wrong and threw him out. Yeah. So this is a big deal.
Well, and they asked James about it, and we have some audio from it, but James was talking to the media after the game, and you talk about Chris Paul not wanting to get fined.
Yep.
James didn't care and basically just told what he thought to be the truth.
Yeah, I never really talk about officiating or anything like that, but just rude and arrogant. I mean, you aren't able to talk to him throughout the course of a game. And it's like, how do you do that relationship with officials? You know, so, and it's not even that call. Like, it's just, you know, who he is on that floor. It's pretty frustrating. And I mean, I'm probably going to get hit, but honestly, I don't really say anything. I'm probably pretty quiet guy to myself, but it's one of those things where you can't voice your opinion. You can't have a conversation with someone that's officiating the game, and then, you know, you're getting a tech. It's pretty sad.
You know, Chris had similar comments about Foster last year.
That's another thing. Man. Last year in the postseason, we game in the Western Conference Finals, I think he officiated a couple of our games, and it's lingering, and it's something that has to be looked at for sure.
You feel like it's a personal issue?
Yeah, for sure. For sure it's personal. For sure. Like, I don't think he should be able to even, you know, officiate our games anymore, honestly.
That's big.
Well, because that's, you know, big. What?
When you got a guy that's like, you know what, I'm willing to come out and say it. Yes, it's personal, and he should not do our games anymore. He's going to get a huge fine, but now the league, I think, has to pay attention.
Absolutely.
To
they bring more attention to it. But also, like I said when we were talking to Charles, the Jake O'Donnell situation. Jake had a personal vendetta against Clyde, and it reared its head in the playoffs in which he ejected Clyde from a playoff game, which is just a complete no-no. You just, as a referee, you don't toss a guy in a playoff game.
Right.
After that game, and the Rockets pushed it with the league, Jake O'Donnell not only never called another Rockets game, he was suspended for the rest of that year's playoffs and never returned to the league to referee another game. At some point, you have to draw a line in the sand and say, look, players like to complain about the officials, but if it gets to this point, something has to be done, because we've already talked about the guys that learn from the Joey Crawfords of the world that want to be the game within the game, that want to be the show as
part of the show.
People aren't paying to see Jake O'Donnell or Joey Crawford or Scott Foster. They're paying to see these guys. And do you really think that people paid to see James Harden sit out with his sixth foul with 2.5 minutes to play?
No one is buying a Scott Foster jersey. No one is wearing a Scott Foster jersey to the game. And like, man, I can't wait to see Scott Foster tee somebody up or call a foul. That's just not a thing. And I'm with you. It takes away from the game. It takes away from the fans' enjoyment, especially at home.
Yeah.
But even on the road, I mean, there were a lot of people in L.A. still want to watch James Harden.
That's what I mean.
A lot of people still want to see that. A lot of people want to see Chris Paul.
National TV last night.
Yeah.
You think guys tuned in last night if they were staying up late? I want to see this Edwin Harden on the bench.
I know Chris Paul hit a big three. Chris Harden, now I'm combining them. I know Chris Paul hit a big three down the stretch. That might be a little different game if James Harden is able to shoot. If James Harden is in the game, because it's not unlikely that he's not making big shots when they needed him down the stretch. Plus, the two tees cost him 2 points.
I was just going to say, take it all the way to that level, and then say, look at the final score, and take the technicals away, and say how close a game that could have been.
Well, once Chris Paul hit that three, I think they were down by four with 30 seconds left or so.
Yeah,
that matters, and I'm not saying that one game is going to matter necessarily. Excuse me, but. At the end of the day, everybody on national TV and everybody in that stadium wants to see James Harden and LeBron James go head-to-head, best scorer versus best player, who wins, and you took that from him. You literally took that from him.
And let me say this.
With some BS calls, too.
Now, I think the Harden call was legit.
Some of those were warranted, but he should not have been fouled out. There were way more egregious. LeBron is out there elbowing people, and it's not called.
Yeah, I think the Harden could have been – you can call that a charge. But the Chris Paul foul, when you look at it, the only contact that was made was his off arm that wasn't near the ball, and it wasn't really even contact. You know, you could go back and say, look at the three fouls Harden got in the first quarter and go, seriously?
Yeah. And one of those charges was legit, but one of them, the second one that fouled him out, I'm not so sure about that.
See, I thought the one that fouled him out you could call because LeBron got his feet down outside the semicircle, and James really didn't do enough to pull up his momentum.
But he also dished the ball, and he did pull up, though.
I guess at the end he tried, but there was enough contact that I could see legitimizing that one. But of the three in the first quarter, I thought there were a couple I'm going, come on, man.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you can't talk to them, because these guys have to at least have dialogue to say, what am I doing wrong? Or why are you calling it a certain way? Or what can I do to avoid that? And a lot of guys you can have conversations with. If you can't talk to a guy, that's a problem.
Yeah, for sure. You know what's not a problem? Saving cash, saving money, getting money in your pocket, and you can do that through the Get Upside app. It is absolutely free to download. Go to the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store, whatever you have. Go and download it. Put in promo code Barry. You're going to get extra savings on some gas when you use promo code Barry, especially their first time. And I want you to get that. Why would you leave money on the table? Download the Get Upside app to begin with because you're going to get cash back on stuff you already buy like food and gas. But then use promo code Barry to get that additional savings. And when I talk about savings, I mean, just regularly, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon off of gas at any of the 5,000 gas stations that are listed in the Get Upside app. Up to 35% off of food, and it's not at some, you know, just fly by night. I have no idea what this place is. Places to eat. It's Wendy's, it's Popeye's, it's Burger King. I think Cyclone and I has a couple of different restaurants around town that are participating. So it's legit places to eat. And if you save 35%, that's a third of your bill. Take somebody out to eat like I do Nick and then don't tell him and save some extra cash. He doesn't have to know. And again, these places are giving you these deals because they want your business. These gas stations and restaurants want you to be there. So they offer these deals to you. They offer this cash back, but it's only done through the app, through the Get Upside app. So go download it. Put in promo code Barry. It's really easy to use. I know it's going to be easy for you. Even if you're not technically smart like Joel, you can still use this app. Go download it. It doesn't take long to install and be up and running. If you need to stop and get gas on the way home from work, do it right now. You'll be ready to go. Promo code Barry will even save you more money on your next fill up. So download it right now. It's called Get Upside. It's in your phone's app store. Get Upside. Use promo code Barry. Save some money. Thank me later.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
It's hard to find a trustworthy roofer. Joel Blank here from Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing is a locally owned company that can help with all your roofing needs. What sets them apart is they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of roofers in the U.S. are authorized to offer the CertainTeed roofing system. Fitz Roofing also has an A-plus rating in the Better Business Bureau. Sounds like a roofer you can trust, right? Go online. FitzRoofing.com. That's F-I-T-Z. FitzRoofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Guys, Lance Erline here to tell you about Texas Custom Patios. What great work they did for me. I was so excited. I said, you guys have to be on radio so I can tell other people. I mean, they do patio covers, screen porches, outdoor living rooms, outdoor kitchens, room additions, sunrooms. They do it all. And they created design drawings so you can see exactly what the project is going to look like on your home. There's no guessing. They match it to your home. You can go online and even see the patio work they did for me. Go to tcplance.com and fill out an inquiry form, and they will give you a call today.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes on the clock. That means that we've got a half hour to go in the big show on an F Yeah Friday. It is Barry, it is Nick, it is Joel, and we are setting the table for your weekend. We'll take you up until 4. Blitz will take you till 7. They are on location, Big City Wings. I believe it's in Kingwood today. So they are at Big City Wings, and they will be, if you're in the area, stop in and see Fred and AJ. Aaron will be here in studio, and they'll take you all the way till 7. You don't have to do a darn thing, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. Jake called the show and wants to talk about Jussie, and it just says Jussie incident. So, Jake, what's on your mind, man?
Hey, fellas, it's Fort Worth Jay.
Oh,
I don't think he heard me, right?
Yeah, what's up, Fort Worth Jay?
I'll make it quick. He was stupid for doing it, but I get why he did it. And I was talking to my uncle about this a little while ago, and he said something to me that made so much sense. He was like, black people don't realize we've been suffering from PTSD in this country for years. I'm not going to get into it too much, but y'all know. But recently, look at things that we're being reminded of. The country's basically telling us they were always okay with blackface. It's okay to put it in your face now. You've got schools having kids wear it. The little kid who was invited to the White House that literally insulted an elder that was Native American, and he was wearing a MAGA hat. And that picture right there, the smug look on his face and how he was disrespecting an elder of the indigenous people of this continent in which they stole from, we have to stomach that. And there's so many times we're like, dang, when is somebody going to tell them this stuff is not cool? And when I heard that he was attacked, I was glad that he survived, but I was like, okay, cool. A black gay celebrity got attacked. Maybe now people other than us will raise an eyebrow to and actually speak out and condemn it. So I get why he did it, but it was stupid. And it did kind of set us back, but I'm also seeing a lot of hypocrisy because I never remember a lot of people calling out all the lies that Trump said every day. I don't remember a lot of people calling out all of these certain nationality women who lied on black athletes about rape, you know, rape, stuff like that. So I get it, why he did it. It was really stupid, but I think there, and it's funny too when you think about it, but there are layers to this. There are a lot of deep layers to this. And well, I just hang up and
yeah, I got to tell you. Look, appreciate the call, Fort Worth Jay. A lot of times I agree with a lot of things you have to say, but I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one, bud. There's no, as divided as this country is right now, the absolute worst thing that could have happened for the African-American community and for the LGBTQ community is to have one of their members fake a hate crime in order to bring attention to it. Trust me, there is plenty of attention. It may not always be good attention, and you may not always get the things that you want done out of it, but most people in this country are aware of the issues. Faking a hate crime is the absolute worst thing you could have done to make it better.
Actually, faking too.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because now
African Americans and the gay community.
But I'm saying he legitimately, now they're saying, did all of this because of how he felt like he was underpaid and his salary was low. So now they're saying in the investigation they did, he actually was responsible for the letter that he received on set.
There's proof of that, or they're just speculating?
The Chicago Police Department was talking about it, that they have evidence to say that he did the letter.
That doesn't mean it's been proven yet.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. I've heard that they said he did it. I don't know if it's been proven to what level, but if that comes out, and again, we always say, let's wait for it all to play out, just like we said with Kraft. But if he did that and he staged the actual event, then it's just it's awful. You're absolutely right. So
yeah, I try to be honest and with my views on any of these topics on this show. And I think a lot of people know how I tend to lean when it comes to social issues. I just can't on this one. I just don't think that this was there's no way you can justify this. Not even with everything else that has happened in this country still doesn't justify what he did.
And again, if the basis of what he was doing was to draw attention to try and gain support for the African-American community, like you said, the LGBT community, but instead if the motivation was, and I'm going to let it all play out before I pass any final judgment, but if it was money motivated and it was just for him to get more money on set and to solidify his position on Empire.
So was his point that he wasn't getting paid on Empire because he was gay? Because it couldn't have been because he's black.
From what I was told, and what I think Entertainment Tonight was also talking about it last night, and talking about the fact that the first initial letter that he did was sent to maybe draw attention to the fact that if it got publicized and people found out about it and drew more attention to him, then the show would be less likely to give him a lesser, because he had heard rumblings they were either going to write him off or write his character down in terms of the amount of screen time and everything that he got and how much he was a part of the actual episodes. And he wanted to stop that. If he got more attention publicly, maybe that would push it to, hey, we've got to have Jesse be a bigger part of the show. And then when that didn't get the kind of reaction he wanted, that he turned to this next step, which to stage all of this.
Yeah. Well, it's ugly. It's ugly, but, I don't know. I saw somebody sent me a picture of Jesse handcuffed to R. Kelly, who was handcuffed to Robert Kraft, who was on the phone saying, hey, Meek, get me out of this.
I had seen several people say at least Meek will come visit Robert Kraft in jail.
Yeah, so I saw one meme that said Jesse right now is like, thank God for Robert Kraft. Yeah, that's not going to take the heat off of it either. I'm sorry. R. Kelly thought that. R. Kelly was probably like, "Ooh, thank God for Jesse." Nope. Trust me, there's plenty to go around. Everybody can get theirs.
Yeah. So, and again, we'll wait till all the facts come out and all the decisions are made, but it doesn't look good.
We talked about LeBron James a little bit a couple of times because the Rockets played the Lakers, but there was an interview with Mike Clevenger of the Indians, and they were talking to him about athletes and, baseball and all that. And in the article, he made a quote about LeBron James, milk, and nipples. And you're probably wondering, why on earth would all those go together? And this is what he said. So he said, my exact comment to him, Clevenger said, is, okay, put LeBron James in a batter's box. Is he not an athlete? Because I guarantee he won't look pretty against big league pitching. Is he still an athlete? He is still the best in the world, actually. So his argument's not that logical. It's like a vegan saying, can you drink milk? Do animals drink other animals' milk? No, because they don't have the thumb to milk their nipples. Of course not. But if they did, do you know what a dog would be doing every bleeping day? What? I just read that for like the fifth time, and I still have no idea why Mike Clevenger is talking about dogs without thumbs milking their nipples every day with LeBron James in the batter's box. I literally have – the only thing I could think of when I read this was the scene in Meet the Fockers or Meet the Parents when Ben Stiller's at the table and he's like, oh, you can milk anything with nipples. And the father's like, I have nipples. Can you milk me? That's the only thing I could think of because this is just bizarre.
Does it surprise you that Mike Clevenger's best friend is Trevor Bauer?
No.
I mean, because they even actually talked about it and said Bauer's rubbed so many teammates the wrong way, but he and Clevenger have developed this really solid relationship. And that makes a lot of sense.
It's so weird because it was basically the whole quote was about just drills and stuff. And so I guess he was arguing with somebody about, well, if you put LeBron James in the batter's box, he's an athlete. What? But I don't. Do animals,
it's a long way to get there.
It's but what's weird is what does the vegan have to do with the animals and the nipples and the thumbs and the milk? Because it's like a vegan saying you can't drink milk. Do animals drink other animals' milk? ? No, because they don't have the thumbs to milk their nipples. I'm sorry. I've seen puppies
drink milk.
Yeah.
And guess what? They don't use thumbs, Mr. Clevenger. They don't. Babies don't use thumbs when they drink milk from mommy. What the, like, what? That was just, I just was like amazed at that. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's out there. Good luck, Cleveland.
Pretty wild.
Enjoy your Indians.
Yeah.
The quote machines coming out of the pitching staff are going to be great this year. Okay, we've got one segment to go still in the big show. So we're going to put a bow on it and then turn it over to Fred and AJ and the Blitz at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. But again, if there's something you want on your mind, you want to get off your chest, you can try and reach us before we get out of here. 713-780-3776, HR and P listener line, where you can call, you can text, or you can tweet. It's the usual suspects. It's right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Go, final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we are wrapping up another strong week here on the show. Take you till 4, Blitz will take you till 7. I thought this was kind of amusing, fellas. I just got an alert from East Bay that the latest from Nike and Paul George... and the new Paul George 3 has dropped. Thank God, since the 2.5
yeah.
dropped Zion to his knees.
That's what they get.
Jeez. Timing could have been a little different there, but hey, at least they got a new model out. Maybe it's going to be stronger in terms of durability.
Would you buy a pair and hoop in them now?
I would put them on. I have tried the previous editions, and I'm not a big fan of the comfort level of that shoe. But I mean, I'd try it. I don't think anybody's 6'9", 280 pounds and putting that kind of pressure on the edge of a shoe. But Charles talked about it last night, and some of the guys did too, that he had been wearing the shoe basically all season. And again, before people go, well, you know what? Because Charles said I would wear a different pair every week. People have to understand when they start going, well, you know what? There are kids out there that can't afford a pair a week. Right, and you're not playing as much basketball as they are either. But when you're Zion Williamson, you're that size. Believe me, between Nike and Duke, they can supply the amount of shoes you need. You know what? Sometimes with that kind of punishment on a shoe, things can give way too.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a big guy. Plus, listen, anything that you manufacture, there's going to be a percentage of what gets manufactured that's a defect.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate, but on occasion it can happen where you're in a shoe or you're doing something. And I mean, dude, look how many of these microphone stands we've gone through. They break. Mm-hmm. Not all of them break. Some of them more than others. But it's when it comes to anything that you manufacture, there's going to be the opportunity for it to mess up. So especially if you're using, you know, 7 cents an hour labor.
And we also mentioned, look, it was just the perfect storm. If it's not ESPN, if it's not Duke Carolina, if it's not the whole world watching, you know, and it's Clemson on a Monday night on a late night game or an early start time, this probably does. And if it's not Zion Williamson,
yeah,
it probably doesn't get as much run. But it was the perfect storm of negativity for Nike.
Did you hear what Paul George said? I talked to Nike. This is a quote from him. I talked to Nike to see what went wrong, what happened with the shoe, and I take pride in that. My shoes have been successful shoes, not only in college, but in the NBA. A lot of people have been in them. A lot of people have been wearing them. So I don't necessarily know, but it's never happened to my knowledge before, so that's tough. But he basically said, I talked to Nike. So he reached out to Nike because, of course, his name's on it.
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to reach out and be like, yo, what the hell? Why is my name on a shoe that's blowing out and possibly ruining the next LeBron James's knee? What's going on?
And i.e. a license, I mean, just a whole lesson in crisis management. Because even when I was little and I was a ball boy on the bench in Milwaukee, if something happened, we had one time where the players used smelling salts.
Right.
And they threw it on the ground. And there was an attorney that sat behind the bench. He was trying to get it. I mean, the first thing you do, so there's no film, no cameras, no nothing. Get it and get it out of there. The fact that those shoes sat under the bench with that big rip in it the entire first half, That just was fuel to the fire.
What was the point of the smelling salt?
They just like a wake up before the jump ball to be like completely awake. Yeah. And actually, the attorney in Milwaukee ran it to the crime lab, and I was running the visiting team locker room, and the Celtics did it every game notoriously. And the lawyer wanted to make a name for himself, and also at the same time, he thought he was giving the Bucks advantage. And after the game, I opened up the visiting team locker room, and the Milwaukee Police Department was waiting for me, and I was like, hello? And he's like, can you show me who Larry Bird is? And I'm like, you're kidding, right? And I was laughing at him. I'm a teenage kid. And he's like, no, I'm not kidding. He's like, who is he? I go, he's that guy with 100 people around him doing interviews. Yeah. And he goes, well, tell him he's under arrest if we get results from the crime lab that say that there was anything funny with the stuff he was smelling before the game. And I was like, you tell him.
I thought you meant maybe because they were throwing it and then faking their a slip and fall like that old man did with that ice.
It was just like a little jolt, wake up. NFL guys do it too. Yeah. So, yeah, that stuff can happen.
So they were just getting a little bump before the game, huh?
And if you can't get a bump that way, Don Nelson's found some way that you can get it, too, because last night, Golden State Warriors honoring some of the guys of the past, Jason Richardson, Steven Jackson, and one-time Warriors coach Don Nelson, who has now retired to Hawaii, where he's doing things a little differently, including growing his hair out. But one of the questions after the three of them was doing a press conference that they got some basketball questions, and Jason Richardson presented Kevin Durant with his All-Star trophy.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, they started going around the room and they said, all right, guys, we know what you did. You know, we know what you did with the franchise. What are you doing now? What are you doing with your time? And what are you doing, you know, with the fact that you're now out of basketball? And Nelly had one heck of an answer.
Each of you talk briefly about what you've been doing after basketball. Coach, I know you live in Hawaii, right? So
yeah, I've been smoking some pot, actually.
It's legal now.
Yeah, but I never smoked when I played or coached, so it's new to me. But anyway, I'm doing that. And
I tell you what, I was waiting for him to be like, yeah, bro, I've been just smoking, you know, I've been smoking some of that marijuana. And like, he looks like a stoner.
Don Nelson always had the kind of hair gelled, you know, kind of slick back hair, and you know, obviously a bigger guy that played. But, you know, he was famous for fish ties and tape on his tennis shoes when he was trying to make all those things hip because he was the coach of the Bucks when I was growing up. But never anything like that. But I will say this. The other thing that we knew with the Rockets was whenever he came to town, whether he coached for the Warriors or the Mavs, guaranteed at least one time a year he was going to get thrown out because we had stocked the visiting team locker with beer.
And he just
Tony
Nyla,
the equipment manager for the Rockets, his dad is one of the security guys on the court. And it was a running joke with all of us that at least one time in one of the two visits per year that Nelly would make, he was going to get tossed because he knew he had a full cooler of as many beers as he
to
wanted.
Himself.
And it, to himself in a locker room where he could watch TV and drink beer. And he would do it guarantee like clockwork once a year.
That is great.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I tell you what, if they had beer for us here or whiskey, I would do what I could to get tossed off this show and go get to the whiskey early. I ain't gonna lie. I would definitely do that.
It's
but he looks like a burner. Like he looks like dude like that got burned out and smoked out. He looks like an extra in a Cheech and Chong movie. You know what he reminded me of more than anything? Spicoli from Fast Times
at Ridgemont. With the new hair look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even the way he talked. I mean, when you listen to his voice, it sounded like he's like, Nick, can you play it again? Just his part? Do we have it? Because he's like, yeah, man, I'm getting high now. And I'm like,
Coach, I know you live in Hawaii, right? So
yeah, I've been smoking some pot, actually.
Yeah, I've been smoking some pot, actually.
And then they asked, you know, he elaborated, and he's like, so we've got a whole bunch of rental houses now, and they're really, really lucrative. So we're just enjoying life and renting out the houses and making some money.
Just catching some waves and smoking some pot, bro.
And what you couldn't see was when he had that first answer, Steven Jackson had two arms in the air and was pumping his fist, celebrating, laughing his ass off.
Smoking weed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was pretty funny.
Good for Don. Living his best life as an old man.
Set up his son for his whole life, and his son's still with the Mavs.
Yeah. So I just texted the show and said, damn it, did I miss Chuck? Yeah, 2:30. But podcastarena.com.
Yeah.
Go get hour number two of The Usual Suspects for the F Yeah Friday, and go enjoy it. It was a damn fine interview.
Yeah, he's
Chuck is one of the best
and one of a kind. So definitely, if you have some spare time, and you don't have to do it now, but do it over the course of the weekend or whatever you do after you have done what you have to do, is check up on that podcast. That's right. See that. I mean, listen to that interview because it was fun.
Are you doing anything? Are you going today? By the way, was Go Texan Day, right?
Oh boy, it was.
I really thought, as much as Nick line dances and country dances, that he would have worn his Go Texan gear, but he didn't. He just showed up in his Go Idiot gear.
Well, you had
and
to get up early again, even, right? Like,
huh?
You had to get up early again.
Well, you got to get dressed. He could have still worn Go Texas stuff. What's up? Why are you selling out your state, bro?
I'm not even going to lie. I didn't even know.
He didn't know it was Go Texas.
And you were at the cook-off last night because evidently you ran into my boy, Tony.
Oh. I did. Oh. I was like, how is he here at 7:20? Isn't the Rockets, weren't the Rockets playing like at 9:30?
He didn't travel. They gave him time off because of the baby, because his wife just had a baby.
Oh, well, good for him, because he works hard. He's always there. Like, I never see him outside of Toyota Center unless you invite him here or to one of those remotes like we did with the Cowboys and Indians. But, yeah, I just ran into him. I was shocked.
He was texting me and everything going, where are you at? I just ran into your boy Nick. I'm like, what are you doing at the cook-off? He's like, hey, man, I didn't, you know.
Let me live my life.
Didn't have to travel. Sam's got the new baby and got help, so I got out.
Do you own a pair of cowboy boots, Joel?
I don't.
You don't?
No. When I moved to Houston, I vowed three things. I would never own a buckle, a big buckle, boots, or a hat.
That was the three things you vowed.
The buckles, that was it. I'm okay with you not ever wearing a buckle. But the boots, I mean.
So, like, it wasn't never have sex with a goat.
I don't own, like, legitimate cowboy boots, but I have some, like, boots, like, you know, those somewhat.
Ones. I'm talking
like,
about
kind of like, Nick, what you were wearing yesterday.
So, yeah. Nick,
like,
do you,
Chelsea boots. They're not really cowboy.
Do you have cowboy boots?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Even I don't have cowboy boots, man.
And you were What's a line dance instructor.
Yeah. I'm probably going to throw them away. I don't really like them.
You don't wear them?
I bought them like a year ago. I didn't like them.
You went cheap. You went cheap, right?
Yeah, I got it from Payless.
Did you blow them out? Like
Who's
Zion?
Not even around anymore.
Oh, they closed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry to
They're going out of business.
Yeah.
I guess you caught me in a line.
JCPenney. No.
No, they haven't closed yet.
They haven't closed yet.
Oh, okay.
But JCPenney and Payless both shut it down. Yeah, you're in trouble.
Did you blow the boots out like Zion? You were two-stepping and just blew the whole side of
them? I sent an email to JCPenney, though. I let him know.
Did you?
You guys can't be shutting down. I still have Granimals to buy. So you made three vows when you moved here. That was it? No others?
This
like,
was,
I'll never have
Texas,
sex with a goat?
I just said...
You just were like, three things I'll never do.
There was other things, but the things that came up from the time I moved here and started working for the Rock, everybody's like, well, you got to get boots, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And in order to go to the rodeo, you got to do it. I said, then I won't go to the rodeo, because I enjoyed the hell out of the cook-off, but I wasn't a big fan of the rodeo itself.
Well, okay. I would have think I would have at least, like, if I go to Wisconsin, I mean, first thing I did was like eat a cheese curd. Like you gotta
like,
win
a
in
hat,
Rome, bro.
Okay, but
win
I haven't
Rome.
Had like an expensive hat. I had one of those straw, kind of like the Brett Michaels looking hat that they gave away at one of the cook-off tents.
Oh my
tents.
God, that's even worse.
Yeah, so that's the best it got.
That's even worse. That's the one that like the.
It's all bent up and all that. Yeah.
Chicks wear those.
I'm just saying, dude. They, Jack Daniels or Budweiser was giving them away, and so we were drunk enough to put them on, and that's the way it goes.
Okay.
Did you hear that, Nick? Because Tony can testify. Before the whole family situation, the cook-off was my spot.
Oh, man, the cook-off is fantastic. It was fantastic.
Too many people. No, thank you.
No
it actually
way.
Wasn't that busy yesterday because it was cold and rainy. And
was there more than five people in your area?
No, there was a lot.
Yeah, I'm
not getting the right tent. Dude, that's free booze, free food, and a whole lot of scenery. That's a great environment.
I'd rather pay than to be around a bunch of drunk idiots. I'd rather just pay my own food and not be around a bunch of drunk idiots.
And tell them to get off my lawn.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I was telling the guys, I actually did a stand-up set at the cook-off years ago. It was the worst thing ever.
Really?
It was just me yelling at seven dudes that were drunk and didn't care.
Seven?
While the other 393 people around us yelled over me so like no one could hear. Like, it was awful. Awful. But, yeah, definitely not a place you want to do a stand-up set.
No. Because, I mean, if you're a band and you're entertaining, then the people are all
at
over
least,
it.
Yeah, but there's a difference when it's
Did Robbie right. tell you how it went? Like,
no, he said he's doing this today, I think.
Oh, okay.
He's doing. I said, well, you're going to hate it. He goes, I'll just be really mean and this is exactly what he said. No, I've learned in those situations you just have to be really mean to people and just say the meanest thing you can think of, like when they walk by and make fun of their shoes. I was like, what? That's the meanest thing you can think of?
Oh, he's doing that this
year? Yeah. I was like, you're an idiot.
Boy, good luck to you.
Yeah, have fun.
All right. Hey, good one, fellas. We'll have a good weekend, so hopefully will you. And the Blitz is coming up next. It's Aaron, it's Fred, it's AJ. They'll take you till 7, and we will talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.